Welcome, welcome, welcome to Reaching New Heights with Troy Bell, the city manager, city of Muskegon Heights, where you get to know what you need to know so you'll be in the know. So thank you so much for tuning in. For those people who are listening on the radio and for those folks who are clicking on to watch us in person, thank you so much for joining us again for our weekly presentation every Wednesday at 2 o'clock on 103.7 The Beat. Exciting to be here, excited to be here, and we have a great show for you today. So I am bringing in on folks to help us out with this show, which is I am looking forward to it. Hopefully you're looking forward to it. But before we go into that, just a couple of quick references, updates, information. We do not have a council meeting this coming Monday. Our next council meeting is going to be the 14th of November. If you remember, it's the second and fourth Mondays of every month. So in the month of October, we had five Mondays. So we had 1 week where we didn't meet. And so we're skipping a beat on that. And then we will be connecting again on the 14th of November. So looking forward to that agenda. Number of great items on that agenda. I want to make sure that staff and residents and anybody that's interested, stakeholders, that you join us. We shall be more than likely talking about the budget. And that is an important issue that all of the stakeholders from Muskegon Heights should be aware of. And just in case you may have forgotten, it is the responsibility of the city manager to work with the finance department to put together a budget and present a balanced budget to council. And that's what I hope to do in the month of November and December, so the council can take that budget and edit it, add, detract, modify, and then come up with the final budget that they ultimately pass that represents the city of Muskegon Heights. It has been challenging up to this point since we don't have a finance director. Fortunately, due to a grant from the Treasury Department, we were able to hire Maynard CPA, and they've been serving in that role as our financial consultants. But there are a number of items and issues that they've had to clean up to get our books straight. And I won't go into all those details, but suffice to say that there's a lot of work that needed to be done to get us to where we are on a good foundation, being able to move forward. Part of that is the reconciliation of our accounts, reconciliation with our bank account and our journal entries into the system that we use, BSNA. And that has been delayed. I believe when we did our audit, one of the reasons why the auditor had some difficulty is because the bank accounts had not been reconciled last year. And so as we're moving forward into this year with Maynard CPA, they are working diligently in order to reconcile our bank accounts. And I believe they are 99% complete up to May. And so for us to know exactly where we are financially, our expenditures and our revenues, we need to know what our reconciliations are. And so hopefully that will come together. They seem to be picking up speed as they're getting a flow. And they should be able to provide that information so that when we look at the budget, we understand where we are financially today versus where we want to be versus where we want to go. And so when we have that information, and you have to understand that it's very difficult as a city manager to be able to manage the city without that financial data, without knowing exactly on a month-to-month basis where we are. But we deal with what we have. We work through it. And like I said in this show, we always keep it positive. We always keep moving forward. Some of the bumps and bruises that we run into, we overcome them, we adapt, and we figure out a way to create progress in our community. And so the finance is just part of that. And hopefully you can tune in at our next meeting so that that will be part of the conversation. In addition to that, we will be approving the union contract for the fire department. That is also very important. Our fire department's been operating on marginal trucks as it is now. The union contract is part of that, even though it's two separate issues, but something that you should tune in on, and hopefully that will be something that we can approve at our next agenda. So I talked about the fire contract, budget and new equipment. So that is a topic that we're going to discuss today, in addition to what is important today on the week before elections. Today, on the week before elections, what is important is our effort to make sure that we're ready for the elections. And so with that, I want to add into my stream here our quintessential person when it comes to all things election in Muskegon Heights, Ms. Jen Ross.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay, good.
Yes, excellent. So thank you for joining us on our radio show every Wednesday from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m., mm-hmm. Where we get to talk about what you need to know, so you'll be in the know right here.
Absolutely.
Reaching new heights. So talk to us about, before we even go into questions, I also want to bring on board Ms. Laudermill and to talk about elections. So I want you to start, but let me go ahead and bring her in to the stream. I know Ms. Laudermill. Welcome, Ms. Laudermill. Oh, you're on mute.
She's muted.
Yep, we got to unmute.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. Welcome to the show. So I was just introducing Ms. Ross, and again, Ms. Phyllis, thank you very much for joining us. We are talking today about what's important, and the key thing that's important is about elections. And Ms. Ross was just going to tell us a little bit about why elections are so important to us here in the city of Muskegon Heights.
Well, I mean, not only here in the city of Muskegon Heights, but all elections are very important. Mm-hmm. Even before I took this job, I always took election day off to give people free rides to the polls, because that is how passionate I am about people exercising their right to vote. You know, you got to think, back in the day, our ancestors were not allowed to do this, and people fought, you know. And when I say ancestors, I don't just mean African Americans. I mean all ancestors, because guess what? Women couldn't vote for a long time, too. Mm-hmm. So you got to exercise that right now that we have it. Yeah. So here in the city of Muskegon, well, across the city, across the county, people can register to in person to do an absentee ballot. So we are here at City Hall until 6 o'clock today, 10 to 6 tomorrow. And then we are also open on Saturday. Mm-hmm. From 8 to 4, just the clerk's office. You can't come pay your water bill on Saturday. None of that's going to be open. It's just me.
The clerk's office, all things elections, right?
Right, all things elections. So just me here, and you can come in and, again, in person, get your absentee ballot and make sure that your vote counts for this election.
And, you know, this election is beyond the importance of voting. Mm-hmm. Which is always important, because without a vote, you don't have a voice, and without a voice, you don't have a vote. Mm-hmm. So, like you said, across the county, that's something that's critical. And I remember when I first started as a youngster, which was just a couple of years ago, down in South Florida, you know, right? I started off with just a car and taking people to the polls.
Yep.
Yeah, the whole get out the vote thing. And yep. Next thing I know, I was knocking on doors and ringing doorbells and ducking and driving and trying to keep people tied into the elections while I stayed alive.
Same. Same. I have done all of that. Knocked on doors, did the caravan, you know, we go down the street honking the horns and handing out signs. So I've done all of that previous to taking this position as clerk. So definitely got to understand the importance of just, you know, making sure that your voice is heard and making informed decisions. So this is the governor is up for election this cycle, along with other state jobs, secretary of state, state attorney, mm-hmm. attorney general. And then, you know, that trickles down to local positions. We have some judges' seats up here in Muskegon County. So a lot of important things, you know.
Right. Well, I was going to ask Ms. Laudermill, do you know, can you share with us some of the folks that are on the ballot this year for the elections? I know you wanted to talk about a little bit about that. So Why is that important from your perspective as a business owner in Muskegon Heights and a business owner in Muskegon as well, and as a resident of the area?
Well, you know, looking at who's on the ballot, you know, I'm sitting here thinking about, I've been out here since I was 16 and I'm going to be 64. So that's 48 years. 48 years of no change. So I'm looking at Ms. Jen Ross, who, you're right, you've been out there for a long time. And so if you think about how long I've been there, and as whether we're Democrats or Republicans, if we're not tired of this same old thing, I don't know what else to do. So when you call the names of who's there across the board, you know, we got some Democrats there. We got our governor. We have Terry Sabo. We have John Bumstead. We have all these people that are now bowing for our community. And interesting today, you know, someone approached me about free choice. And so, you know, typically we either, you know, are asked to vote straight ticket, right? Mm-hmm. So when we look at, as a business owner, and just forget that as a community leader, I just decided that something had to change. We had to shake it up a little bit, right? Because the reality is it was insanity. We do the same thing every year. We vote the same way every year. It's the same question. So today, when I'm out, you know, the governor was here today, and we were talking about the election. People were there, and there were some people that was asking the question, you know, why did you choose to endorse Senator Bumstead versus Terry Sabo? Terry brought it up today, so I might as well explain.
I'm not sure that I want to know what the difference is between your endorsement of one or the other. I want to focus on why it's important for everybody to get out and vote, whether they support one candidate or another candidate, or they just want to vote on the propositions.
Yeah, and I'm getting to that. It doesn't matter who we endorse. Mm-hmm. But what it does matter is that we're informed as to why we're making our decisions, right?
Right.
So we want people to look at the real things, like your issues, like what is happening in your community? How much money came to your community? How was you able to develop those things? So when you look at all that transparently, mm-hmm. then you look at every person, whether it's me or you or anyone else, to make a choice about your voting. That's where I'm getting to. So it's not about me personally or anyone else. It's about making a concerted effort choice and about what we know and what we see. And sometimes what we know and what we see looks two different things. If you don't know how to read it and you don't understand it, you definitely should know what you see every day. Mm-hmm. If you see the same thing every day for the last 20 years, does it matter if you read it or does it matter if you understand what you see? So mm-hmm. when it comes to who we're choosing, what candidate, what do we see that's happening in our community? That's what we need to look at. What are we looking at?
I know what I would say is critically important to our community and the communities that I've worked in around the country is a realization of the true power that we have in the electorate, the true power that we have in our vote. And many of the communities, there are more folks that have the ability to vote that fail to even show up or register. And they don't realize the power of those votes. When you sit down and you look at how many Republicans there are, how many Democrats there are, if everybody came out and participated, typically, the participation that we get is about 10%, and we're lucky to get 10%, which is ridiculous.
But do you know why?
Why is that? Tell me.
So you say, let's talk about what we do. There have been elections where we come out versus our presidential elections. And I remember the governor when we first came out before. People have come out, but we get the same results. You get the same conversations. So after a while, people get tired of it. And that's what I'm hearing. You know, the reason why I don't come to vote, a reason why I won't show up. Well, what are they going to do, Ms. Phyllis? How does it affect us? And young people are a little bit different from us. Most people in my age group, we just do because that's what we know to do. We follow suit. If they say go to Texas, we go to Texas. This generation is not like that.
Mm-hmm. But I think, Ms. Ross, I'd be curious to hear what you think about this. I think it's remiss of us to think, well, things haven't changed, so I'm not going to show up. Because if we don't participate, the whomever gets elected to represent us is going to do what they want to do anyway. So why not participate as opposed to withdraw and not participate? At least if you participate, you have some say in who is elected. Mm-hmm. Now, it may not be the person that you want, but that you have to keep coming, And you might be surprised, because I know when Barack Obama ran for office, nobody thought that he could win. And there were a lot of people that had never registered for vote that registered for the first time, that came out and participated, and they surprised themselves, because here was an opportunity for them to voice their opinion, to have a vote that was never taken into account before. So, Ms. Ross, I'm curious, from your perspective, you know, looking at the county, what does it look like from Muskegon Heights as a community in the county, and our opportunity as a city to impact the final outcome and the final results?
You know, honestly, and I don't think Muskegon Heights voters know this, but you can actually make the difference between somebody winning and losing. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of people that depend on you not coming to vote. Okay. And that's been a thing. They depend on you to not show up.
Right. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. Yep. They depend on it. So, you know, when you take a look at it, you see people, you know, we often say, you know, we only see certain people when it's time to vote. So here's the thing. So the challenge is behind that, make them accountable, call their office,
right?
You know, invite them to events and see if they show up when it's not election time, because we know we're going to see them when it's election time. But in the off time, you know, hold your elected officials accountable.
Mm-hmm. Now, I would question, what do we really see them when it's election time? Or do we see the same old people coming out during election time? Do we hold our representatives and our council people and our senators accountable for representing our votes? Do we ask them, you know, if you're going to go to Washington, if you're going to go to Lansing, if you're going to go to the county commission, are you going to go there and say something about what matters to me? Or are you just going to go there for your own personal needs?
Well, do you think that after this point, if that was the fact, we would not still be asking the same questions? And I'm a definite advocate for voting, but we'd start voting with a purpose. In this election, we had no agenda that made any sense to anyone that you're talking about that's not voting, mm-hmm. except for healthcare. Well, you know, you're going to get it anyways. Jobs. Well, it depends on where you have to get a job. It didn't get past that conversation. So since we started an election with no agenda, it still don't have one. So if they vote, then the question is, when we do vote, what's the next step of holding them accountable? I'm hoping that this whole next step would be make them accountable, not ask them, but make them.
Gotcha. And if I know you, Jen, have to be nonpartisan, like myself, the yes. city manager. Mm-hmm. That is a stranglehold, Ms. Phyllis, that you don't have to worry mm-hmm. about. So you can pick and choose. But what if you had an agenda and that agenda was representing the city of Muskegon Heights, what would that agenda entail, regardless of whether it's an R, a D, or an independent?
It would definitely be more than fix the damn bros. They say it would be more than that. So
right. But that's important. Don't forget about that. That's important.
I mean, it is important. But honestly, too, you know, people need to understand how much money that takes. And again, that's the accountability piece. Mm-hmm. You know, we have these elected officials that could go to bat for us in Lansing or in Washington. And are they doing that?
Right. That's where the money is.
That's where the money is. Yeah.
$110 million is not going to come out of the little itty bitty budget that Muskegon Heights has.
Definitely not.
If we're going to get money, it's going to come from there. Those where the deep dot pockets are. Mm-hmm. And that's just a rounding error for them. You know, our streets could be paved in gold with a rounding error from Lansing.
Well, you can have streets paved in gold. You can't have a job. And then after that came that, you're going to have nowhere to live. So, you know, when you ask that question, what would be my agenda? I started looking in 2 years ago. Actually, I started 4 years ago. And actually, I started back before the other group. And we still have not come to that point. That's what's important. This always is a question every day. People ask me, what does the people of Muskegon Heights want? The same thing you want. Why is it should be a different conversation? Or it would be, even today, someone said, well, if we gave them $1 million, what would they do? The same way it did when you gave Muskegon $1 million. So I think my problem is maybe You know, sometimes it hurts you when you're very opinionated and you speak very freely about the truth. But as long as I'm telling the truth, I don't think I'm going to be wrong. So I try very much so to make sure the truth I'm saying that is one that we can see and we understand. So those are the questions. Or, well, you know, we got to get people ready. Everybody get a chance to play hockey stuff for your community. So creating, you know, wealth is important. Creating right. a voice is important. Right. You know, I look at the things that were happening. You just listening to you for at the city or any other city. There's some things that if you really understood what was going on, your constituents would be raising hell, but they're not. They're not raising hell because they don't. Maybe they don't understand, or maybe it's because we're fraternizing, or maybe either way it goes, it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. It's very dangerous. So when someone said, well, why do you think that? I sit on the other side. I see the money. I live with it. It's hurting. I'm building houses. We're upside down. So you were in a meeting with me the other day with Mishda, right?
Right. What is Mishda?
Let's talk about party and party. I don't just say DR. D never brought anything to the table. R brought everything to the table. So when you have these differences and people are showing you that they will have, you have to support your help.
Right.
I don't care share with looks the, like
our listeners who Mishda is.
Mishda is Housing Authority. We met with them about monies to bring into our community that is in Muskegon and other communities that I work with around the state right. that we need, I mean, desperately we need to build houses because we're building them. But even when we build the houses, I'm upside down. And I'm upside down some because of the value. Two, people don't have the money to come to the table. It goes on and on and on. So one of the things that, and I have to call the name because he helped that. And the, I mean, it's unfortunate that he's running, but Senator Bumstead brought that to the table. We've been working on this for almost 5 years before you even came. So it does wow. make a difference about politics. And you say, what's my agenda? To build Muskegon Heights up, to make sure we have jobs and development, make sure that we have businesses, to make sure our kids have healthy zones. So whoever brings that to the table, mm-hmm. bring it, but it has to start with us first.
So I heard you. I heard you mention building new houses, which is incredibly important to the city of Muskegon Heights, because without houses, we don't have a tax base. Without a tax base, we can't provide services. And if we can't provide services, we can't pave the roads or parks and rec.
Get them voted or whatever.
Yes.
So, I'm getting some background noise in here.
Yeah, could you mute me? Somebody just walked in.
Okay, so when we talk about there you go, got the mute. When we talk about bringing an agenda to the table, I would say, at least from my perspective, the most important thing is first and foremost is we have to get rid of the school debt.
That has to be first. Mm-hmm. So one of the things about school debt we discussed, and so I spoke to Nate, and so mm-hmm. we're looking at an agenda with Lieutenant Governor, is how do you entice people to come into the city that don't think that there's no value? So one right. of the things that we're looking at doing is rolling out adoptive lot save community, means adopt a family. And so we are looking at, with Health West, adopting families in Muskegon Heights so that they will want to live here. But also they would look at this more of a healthy community to make it safe. Also, they would give them a voice so they can speak loudly about what they want and be well informed. So if we commit to investing into the school first, we commit to, means us as business owners and my partners, making sure there's a safe and sober village, right? Then I'm gonna hopefully that the city, along with the constituents and along with whoever wins this election, will fight with us to get that debt relief. Because if you build, it's about a tax base. The average house, if you look at, is 220. Look at the taxes on that new home, what it's going to be, and how unaffordable is it making it for me as a developer. How hard it is for me to have an area where I'm fighting with, you know, inspections and getting things there just so we can level the playing field. People don't look at all those different dynamics that comes into building this city. Taxes is crazy.
So number one is getting rid of the school debt. And if we can get rid of the school debt, we can reduce the taxes.
Most definitely.
Number two is building the tax base of the city. If we can reduce the taxes, we can start. This is what I'm hearing. If we can reduce the taxes, that'll make the houses that we're building even more attractive. They're yes. attractive now, but even more attractive. So these are the items. Are these the items that we're hearing those people who are running for office talking about, Ms. Phillips?
Absolutely not. They haven't even talked about it. Matter of fact, what I'm getting is, why would we want to develop there? I get that question asked more than none, not just from people that's running. I get it from sometimes people on your dais. You know, it's just being very out front. People sometimes don't know why we're investing in this community, which is our community. You know, and so when you have a developer that would invest $200,000 to build and then hope that you can get it back, that has to be a commitment, not only from us, has to be from the county, and we've talked to them. It has to be from the city, and I'm hoping the city will jump on board with MISHTA. It has to be from the people that are running for these offices. But more than that, it has to be from these people, for people that live in our community. They have to be committed as well.
So we've got a number of items that we should be expecting and challenging and requiring our candidates to talk about that they're not. Yet they're still asking for our votes. They're still wanting us to show up and vote, even though they're not addressing the issues that are close to us. Are there any other issues that that you think that are close to us, Ms. Ross, that should be part of that agenda?
Absolutely. Development in general, not just the houses, but I mean, we have all this beautiful downtown space. Mm-hmm. That needs development. We all, you know, talk about the days where every building was filled. You know, it looked great. We had Christmas decorations every year. I mean, we all talk about those days. I'm, you know, just old enough to remember it. right. Yes. but, you know, just driving through downtown, we see all these empty storefronts. And so that definitely is something that needs attention. And what I was also going to say, too, is, you know, we got to learn to work across the lines. OK, yes. That's how things get done. We have to learn how to work across the lines. We have to learn how to communicate. We have to learn how to not be afraid to ask.
Right.
And not be afraid to have those conversations, you know.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned commerce and industry. And our downtown area filled in. So, and I'm glad you mentioned it, because that's one of the things that we're working on, making Rowan Park, which is right downtown on our main street on Broadway, a destination, along with the Strand Building, which has been closed for, what, 50 years, something like that, getting the lights on. These are all parts of bringing back our Broadway street. Is that something that any of our candidates are talking about or discussing? I didn't think so.
but you can't blame the candidates, and I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
There's enough of us, a professional, we call ourselves affluent people. And so when I asked someone the other day, I said, they keep saying that we weren't ready, or we didn't have qualified people, or, you know, and I said, well, when did we get ready? Did we realize the day of that we had two qualified men that were fighting for one seat? They didn't just pop in the world today. They weren't dead 6 months ago. So now here we are. We're fighting for them, but we could not put people that should know this community in those key seats. So we jump out and we make announcements, you know, who we're going to endorse. That has nothing to do with your community, and you live here. Now, I know people said something, if that's not plantation thinking, I don't know what it is. So I have to just keep it real. What rock are we under? You live in this city, you see your streets, and you find two men of color that have been in offices in your community, and you didn't figure out to the day of the election that they were good candidates. And then everybody's all in an uproar because people, well, I'm the one, I speak loudly, I can't say other folks, and then they wanna know why I speak the way I speak. Ray Charles Blind can see that.
Now, the candidates that you're talking about, are they running against each other?
Yes, they are. And so these people, and I can call their names. You have a Daryl Page, and you have a Pastor Williams. These people were living
Well, you don't need to call their names on the radio station.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm just giving you an example.
Okay.
So that's just real. These are our constituents, and we need to understand what's really going on. So, so we need to have it where our community has an agenda. The agenda should have been back last in April, not 2 days before the election.
Well, what I don't want people to do is not show up and vote, not participate, and then be upset because whomever is representing them doesn't look like them and they didn't take a part in the process.
Mm-hmm. So, I want people to show up to vote, but I want them to be informed voters. I don't want them to check no box. I don't care. I don't want you to check just Republican, and I don't want you to check just Dem. I want you to read to show yourself approval. I want you to go down that line, and I want you to vote according to your real conscience. Not be led down the street because you just don't know what to do. Take a look at your own community.
Educate yourself.
Educate yourself. Yeah.
Read, right. As they say in church, to study yourself to be approval. A workman that needed not be ashamed. We're so ashamed because we don't read. People say, oh, just vote one way. Why?
Well,
what are they going to do?
Yeah. Especially too on these proposals. Make sure you are doing your research. You can go to the state website, Secretary of State website, and the information is there to, you know, for you to educate yourself and make an informed decision on the proposals as well. And then also judicial candidates.
Yes.
So those are nonpartisan seats. So you do have to go down and vote individually. And yeah, but vote individually for those people. So again, make some inform decisions and do your research.
Thanks
so
again.
What can you do for the next 7 days? So I'm going to challenge you.
We'll come back to that, but I wanted to bring it around to Ms. Ross and talk about some of the things that you're doing to bring out more voters that has not been done in the past that you are bringing to the table.
So we were able to go out to the community. We went to meet the people where they are. And shout out to the housing authority and the housing developments here in Muskegon Heights that gave us space for free to not only register their residents to vote, but also to, you know, have them fill out the absentee application and receive their ballot. And so, you know, just a small way to try and help increase voter turnout. I will be mobile officing tomorrow on my Friday on my day off. I will still be working.
You mean clerks get a day off?
Yeah, well, not right now. Not during election. Mm-hmm. So again, I'll be at the US Cafe. I'm not sure of the hours yet that I will be there, but you know, at this time you have to register in person to vote because it's within 14 days of the election. So also, you know, same thing with the absentee. I would suggest coming in. You can't do the application for absentee online anymore because it's so close to the election. So, you know, we know snail mail is still a thing. So just come in person and take care of it in person. Again, Saturday, I'll be working.
Right.
So I'll be here at City Hall from 8 to 4 for anyone who still wants to make sure that their vote counts.
So were you only at the Housing Authority, or what locations did you take the mobile voting to?
We went to East Park Manor. We did Columbia Court,
excellent.
Summit Square, mm-hmm. and the Roosevelt Apartment Complex, the old Roosevelt School. So the managers of the buildings were so pleased and just excited to have us. And one of them cooked chili dogs. And I mean, you know, they really appreciated the effort coming from the city for that reason.
Sure. So did you find that there were people that weren't registered to vote that you were able?
Yep.
That's beautiful. That is a beautiful thing. Excellent.
Can you come down to the hotels?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I don't know if I have time. but, you know, maybe we could coordinate a van or something where they can come out.
One of the things we had people were saying, they could not get to the city. They'd have a ride. So I had asked our pastor about using the van, mm-hmm. but definitely we want to make sure that they are informed and they do get there to register next couple of days.
Okay? Yeah. So, yeah, if we can maybe coordinate a van to pick some people up on Saturday and bring them out to City Hall, that sounds
and
good.
And we can do all three hotels, mine's, which is Lots Landing, and you can do the Clarion and theirs, and you can kind of do a stop. Because okay. I'm sure there's tons of people down there that would love to vote that is not registered because they're displaced. And so it's going to be a good way to make sure.
So that we can be clear, at this point, we're past the 14 days. So you have to come in person.
Yes.
And you have to pick up an absentee ballot, and you can fill it out there and vote there, or you can take it home with you and bring it back. Yes. Or you can drop it in one of the drop boxes, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. So we have two drop boxes here at City Hall. There's one outside the front door, and they are very secure. And then there's one inside the lobby as soon as you come in the door. So you can drop it at either of those sites once you fill it out. And make sure you sign and date the bag. Otherwise, I'm knocking on your door to get that signature.
I'm getting a lot of questions about felons again. Can you let them know if they can vote just in time as well, like come in and register? If they're a felon?
Yeah.
Well, that's the question that most people ask.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah. If I haven't registered to vote and I'm a resident and I'm interested in participating in this election on Tuesday, can I come in today and register to vote and participate?
Yes, you can. Absolutely. The state of Michigan is good about that. Now, we know that there are states, questionable states, that don't allow felons to vote, but we are not one of them. We're friendly. So
okay.
And, haven't gotten out there yet because they're still asking that question. So we're going to do a better job and make sure they're informed. We had a couple of young men that just got out, and that was the first question saying, can I vote? Yes, you can.
Yes,
so now I know we can hand carry them to you so they can vote.
Mm-hmm. So if I am an unregistered voter and a resident and I come in on Tuesday, Election Day. Is that too late?
It is not too late. In the state of Michigan, you can also same day register and you will have to vote absentee, but you can still vote and that vote will be counted.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yep. And you do have to do it in person at the clerk's office. You can't go to a polling location. So you do have to come to my office and see me. I'm pleasant. so yep. Yep. But absolutely.
All right. So that's excellent. And do you have a sense of how many absentee ballots you have sent out this year?
Oh, absolutely. So this is, I think, one of the highest numbers except for, I think, the COVID year. But we are at, what was it,
880
sent out.
Wow.
And 880 sent out. And then our return rate is about 63% so far. Yep. So if you got those ballots just sitting on the table, go ahead and fill them out.
Right.
And drop it back off. Drop it in the drop box.
So what is important to know about the signature? Because I know there was a lot of controversy and discussion about the signature. Yes. Tell us about that signature issue.
Okay. So on the back of the green and white envelope, there is a space to sign and date it. It is invalid if you do not do that. So that's why I said I'll be knocking on your door. If it's not signed, I'm bringing it back to you to get that signature.
So if it's not signed, it's invalid. So you need to make sure that you sign it on the back of that envelope.
Yes. And you need to make sure that the person whose name is on there is the person who's signing it.
Right.
Because we do check the signature, too, against what's in the database. So you, yeah.
Excellent. And so you have enough commissioners to help with the elections. That's all set up and ready to go?
Yes, it is. Yep. I'm pleased to say that most of the team that's been working and doing this for years in Muskegon Heights has come back, and they will be working this election too. So, yeah, they have a pretty good team of people that have been doing this for a long time. So.
Any observers as well? I think that's part of the state constitution. You have to have observers for the elections. So that's all taken care of too.
Well, you can. That's up to the parties. So yeah, if they want to have poll watchers, that's up to the parties. They can absolutely do that. They just need to basically let us know who they are.
Okay.
And then, of course, there are certain rules they have to follow as well. So I just want to make sure that I stay compliant with the rules. But, yep, absolutely.
All very beautiful. I know for you as a new clerk, the first election, you kind of were just coming in and you were an observer outside looking in.
Mm-hmm.
So this election being a main primary election, mm-hmm. even though it's not a presidential election, I want to commend you on the work that you've done to come up to speed.
Thank you.
There were a lot of folks that were naysayers that had things to say about your perceived inability to be ready for this election.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to point out that not only are you ready for this election, but you also did some things that had never been done before. You went out and went mobile. You mm-hmm. took the game or the battle to the streets and brought in people that had never been touched before, never been seen before. And so everybody that runs for an office, regardless of whether they're on the right side, the left side, or in the middle, has to commend you as the clerk of the city of Muskegon Heights for the work that you've done.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I also, got to give a huge shout out to the county clerk office because they're picking up the phone. If I have a question, they're very, very helpful. And then as well as the city of Muskegon, that's where I work the primary mm-hmm. down with Ann Meesh, and she's phenomenal. We have four precincts here. She has 14. So I wanted to have the experience of like working with the best. She's the best in the game right now in the county because she has the largest area.
Right.
So I was with her from the time the polls opened till after the polls closed during the primary. So I just want to, again, thank her and her staff so much because they run that office phenomenally.
Excellent. Well, as you probably saw, the mayor is joining us here. Welcome, Mayor.
Thank you. Glad to be here. And just quickly, I want to echo what, you've said already about the new clerk stepping in and taking the ball and running and scoring. Mm-hmm. Quite honestly, she's done some creative things, and that's what we need in the city of Muskegon Heights. In light of the many difficulties and challenges that we have and with budgets and many other things, we have to be creative in our ways to get things done. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what she came on board and done. And it's been creative and taking the battle to the folks where they live and with this registration drive at the complexes. That's a creative way of doing this job that we need. And I just thank you for stepping in, Jennifer, and doing what we need to do to get our people out to vote and to win this election. Because it's vitally important that, the Democrats win this election. And it's also vitally important that we hold them accountable, do the things that they say they're going to do for our community. Because we have been a stronghold for the Democratic Party my entire life and from prior to those 59 years.
So,
we vote Democrat. And
So before you go any further, Mr. Mayor, I'm going to go ahead and get off because I do have to stay nonpartisan.
Right. Go ahead on, get off then.
And on that same line, we have to stay nonpartisan on this radio show.
Yeah.
Okay. But, all right. Well, thank you for reminding me.
Don't feel bad, Mayor. They have to remind me too.
But it's important that we vote our conscience and vote our hearts and vote what's best for our community.
Regardless of who you are voting for, the purpose of this is to inform people to go and vote.
There you go. Thank you.
And before we let you go, Ms. Ross, do you recall the three propositions? If I'm not mistaken, there are three propositions that people have to educate themselves on and make a decision and vote. Based on those three propositions.
Yes. And so in trying to stay nonpartisan about those propositions, I'm going to defer people to go and check out the state's website and do the research on those propositions themselves. And you can go right to the Secretary of State website. Mm-hmm. Just type in, I think when I was researching them for myself, I typed in proposals 2022 in Michigan and it popped right up. So make sure that you are just, make it an informed decision. And again, people, I'm going to be here Saturday from 8 to 4 for those who want to come in and do their absentee. And then, of course, tomorrow from 10 to 6 here in the election. Now, there's an election room, so I'm not in the clerk's office. I am in the room across from the inspections office. So that's where you can find me.
So I will say that I think there's three proposals, one that has to do with abortion.
It's women's rights.
Well, I'm sorry, women's rights. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that clarification. Mm-hmm. One that has to do with voter rights.
Yes.
Right. And then one that has to do with term limitations.
Yes.
So those are the three general. I'm not going to run into. So go to the website, check them out, educate yourself, and come back and vote on those.
Correct.
All right.
All right.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you again for having me on. I'm going to go ahead and dip on out.
Okay. Thank you for joining us, Madam Clerk.
Okay.
See you again soon.
Thank you.
So, Mayor, thank you for joining us again. And thank you for your advocacy to encourage people to participate in the elections. Anything else you want to talk about in terms of the agenda of these folks? We talked a little bit about that, of what's important coming into these this election cycle.
Well, what's important is that we vote. Because I will say, you know, there is an extreme agenda on the other side that just does not match the needs and concerns that we have in our communities. Mm-hmm. And we have to vote for the party that I think that we think will best serve our needs. Mm-hmm. And I would have to say that is the Democratic Party. However, we do need to have some conversations about the needs of our community specifically. And start to hold those that we elect accountable to do the things that they say they're going to do before we vote for them. Mm-hmm. And once they get in office, we're the forgotten population. And that's just not right. It's not fair. And we have to send people to Lansing that we feel will represent our best interests and bring forth things that we need back to our community. So there are some conversations that we need to sit down. But one thing I must say, and I'm sorry, I must say, if you want our citizens vote, you cannot ignore the leadership of this community. You cannot not come to our council meeting and address our council and tell us what you want to do for our community and expect that you will get strong support from the community. And I just see, and that's just unfortunate because that has not happened even when invitations have been put out to those that more than likely will be our representatives. But that's some things we're going to have to talk about and address within the Democratic Party going forward. But I think that it's more important that we vote to put someone in office that we can have those conversations with and feel that comfortable with knowing that those issues will be addressed and brought forth to the table at a higher level.
And I know that you were, and I apologize for interjecting. But one of those agenda items that you're talking about has to do with the school system.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. The school debt is critically important to the citizens of Muskegon Heights. That debt be forgiven. It is a $40 million debt. Hole in our community. And when the emergency manager came on in 2012, that debt was $12 million. It is now, and all they were tasked with was paying down, taking the taxes that the citizens of Muskegon Heights pay for the school millage, and taking those dollars and paying down the old debt from the old school. Well, if that's all your job is to do that, then how is it that this debt is swelled to $40 million? That's a lot of things in there that a lot we don't know about, but it's now $40 million. So to answer that question or to make further comment about that, and before we can get our own public school back, according to what's in place, that debt must be repaid. And I'm here to tell everybody in the city of Muskegon Heights, we will never be able to pay that debt. And all these consultants and all these people being brought in and making all this money to so-called advise us and tell us what's best, they ain't telling you the truth. If you want our school district, we must pay down the old debt. But to pay down, we cannot pay down the old debt. It will never be repaid. So what must happen? the debt must be forgiven. So those are conversations we got to have moving forward, because the school district is vitally important to this community, and having one in this community is vitally important. We're not asking for something that hasn't been already done for other school districts that look like ours.
That's right.
All we're asking for is the state legislature, the powers that be, to be fair to my community. And why should they be fair to the city of Muskegon Heights, just like they were with the other communities? Let me tell you why. Well, the city of Muskegon Heights, unlike all of the other communities across the state that looks like ours, Detroit, Pontiac, Inkster, Romulus, Saginaw, Flint, Highland Park, Benn Harbor, all of these communities have had a city emergency manager come in to manage their operations. The city of Muskegon Heights has not had that. So why? Mm-hmm. Because they made the hard and tough decisions to make unnecessary cuts to keep the power, the integrity of the community, and allow the citizens to have the power to vote for who they want to lead. Well, when an emergency manager comes in, you don't have that authority. You don't have that power. So we made the cuts that were necessary, cutting police staff and fire staff. And what happens when you do that? Well, when you cut police staff, crime goes up. But the bottom line is we maintain the finances of the city and maintain the right for the citizens to vote. So when we talk about that, having had an emergency manager, that should be some consideration given to that fact when you're talking about erasing the school debt, because some of those that debt that has been erased in other school districts, they had the same problem too.
Sure did.
And here we are begging for assistance and forgiveness of this debt.
And that's why when we talk about what we want to hold accountable for those people that we send to these offices, they have to be talking about exactly what you just mentioned, the school debt. We cannot allow that. I'm glad that we gave you an opportunity to talk about that, because we cannot let them go to the legislature, to the commission, to the federal government without understanding that they need to talk about how to get rid of that school debt. When these other communities got their debt forgiven, the state was not in a surplus. We're in a surplus now. So this is low hanging fruit for the state. So I'm glad that we made sure that you had an opportunity to touch on that, because it is relevant to the fact that we're sending people to these places on Tuesday when we vote.
Well, Mr. Mayor and yes, Mr. City Manager, the reason why Detroit and Pontiac were so aggressively, they had one voice, one voice, one voice. So, no, we don't do that very well in this community. We pick and choose how we speak. And so one thing about people that we get elected, and they know how we do very well, we speak different languages. And so whereas we may be very adamant about that, nobody else is speaking it the same way. So what is our goal after this election, where we had no agenda, no voice? What are we going to do to make sure we move that? Because if we don't have one voice again, nothing is never going to be done.
I appreciate that. And we are, unfortunately, at the end of our show here at 3 o'clock. So we need to wrap it up. And so I'll give you a chance, Mr. Mayor, any final thoughts in the last 30 seconds that we have here?
Yeah, sure. You know, I just want to, you know, advise the citizens of Muskegon Heights that the city of Muskegon Heights is moving forward like it never has been before in the history of this community. I left Muskegon Heights when I was 18 and came back when I was 48. And now I'm 59. And between that 40-year gap, I asked myself, what has happened in the city of Muskegon Heights that has been good? Well, they built family care. That was good. We don't get property taxes, but we get income taxes. So it's half good. We built the bus terminal. We don't get property taxes, we get income taxes. They built the housing development out in Woodcliff. That is a great thing. That's how you rebuild your community. Brought back citizens. We get property taxes, income taxes. We beautify our community. We build new homes and make it safe and where people want to come live. But then we built a $20 million school and wiped away everything that could possibly have been good that was done all those 40 years. So you ask me what has been good in 40 years? Quite honestly, in light of the fact of the new school, nothing. So here we are moving forward. Now we're building houses. We're developing our community. We're building a getting ready to start on a $5 million project at Pack and Sherman. We just got in new vehicles because of some creative thinking from our city manager, where we're going to be rotating our vehicles out on a regular basis to keep the staff with safe and reliable vehicles. Our DPW workers, they now will have trucks that we can retrofit with snow plows that will work. So we're doing the job of the citizens for the citizens of Muskegon Heights like it never has been before. And I would challenge anyone to challenge me on how is that so? Just like I just told you, that's why.
Excellent. Any last words, Ms. Laudermill?
I'm just ready for the one voice before I get 69. So hopefully after this election, we will have an agenda. Lieutenant Governor is looking for that after the election. He's asking for a one pager for us to give it. I spoke to Nate before we got on the line. I spoke to Deion Williams. And so they're ready. And I'm hoping we're ready too. So let's do this and continue in good faith and building our community. But I'm hoping that we just learn to have one voice.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to remind everybody that Tuesday is the day to vote. You have between now and Tuesday. Do not miss the opportunity to vote between today and Tuesday. Tuesday is the D-Day, and there's been a lot of district changes and so on and so forth. What's most important is you got to show up to vote. And one thing I do want to throw a shout out for is the Optimist Club and the work that they did on Halloween. Handed out candy for kids. There were droves and droves of kids that came out for the Optimist Club at the Farmers Market. And also over at Rowan Park, the work that Ms. Kitchen, Councilwoman Kitchen did in bringing together the Trunk or Treat for Rowan Park. Awesome. They were packed as well. And so
yeah, it was
fantastic contributions to our community. So with that, I will say thanks to our guests, the guests that are here now and the ones that left earlier. And thanks for everybody tuning in to Reaching New Heights with Troy Bell, the city manager, City of Muskegon Heights, where you get to know what you need to know so you'll be in the know. And again, thanks to my guests. And have a great day. Continue to be blessed.